Romans 5, verse 14. The pattern. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. We will look at arguably the two most pivotal events in the history of mankind. The one event, death through Adam. The second event, life through Jesus Christ. Last time we gathered, I stressed the contrast between Adam and Christ. Having looked at the contrast, now we will look at the similarity. Verse 14 says, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is the type of him who was to come. Who was a type? In the King James Version, it says a figure. In the New King James, it says a type. In the NIV, it says a pattern. The Greek word there for figure or type or pattern is the Greek word tupos. The verb form means to strike. This is where we get the words type and typing from. Typing is a process by which several characters strike a piece of paper in succession. It strikes, the characters strike the paper. This word tupos is the same word that's used also in John 20, verse 25. In John 20, verse 25, we see this word tupos used. John 20, 25 says, the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. The word translated, some have marks, some have print, the print of the nails. That's the same word, tupos, referring to the wounds that were left to by the nails. Unless I see in his hands the tupos of the nails, the striking of the nails. Tupos in the first century also took on a wider meaning. It came to mean a figure or a form, as in Acts 7:43. Turn to Acts 7:43. We see that word tupos used again. This has a rich meaning, this word. Acts 7, verse 23. You also took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god, Rephan, images which you made to worship, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Notice, images which you made to worship. That's also the word tupos. The images that you made, that you worshiped. As I said, that word tupos has a wider meaning. It means a figure also or a form. It's another word for idols, a figure of God. You've made a figure of God, not according to the scripture. Tupos is also translated example. Look in 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 10. We see this word tupos used again. So we've seen it used as a pattern. We've seen it used for the image of an idol. We've seen it used for the marks, as in wounds that are left behind. We also see it in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Same word there. For examples is tupas. So it means, the word tupas means a figure of God, an example. It means also wounds or marks that are left behind. It also means to strike. Tupas also came to mean something else. It came to mean a person, an object, or an event that prefigured something greater than itself. A tupas, a figure, came to mean something that was greater than itself. This is the way it's used in the text. This is the way it's used in our text. Adam prefigured Christ. Adam was a type in the sense that he prefigured Christ. He was an object. Let me explain that again about tupas. Tupas came to mean a person, an object, or an event that prefigured something that is greater than itself. So Adam prefigured, he was a tupas of something that was greater than himself. Maybe that all being said, I'll bring it out in a greater degree now. Much of the Old Testament is a tupas of Jesus Christ. Much of the Old Testament prefigures something greater than itself. Much of the Old Testament prefigures Christ. Much of the Old Testament, as Christ taught himself in Luke chapter 24. Notice what he says about himself, about being a tupas. Luke 24:27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. See, all of the things, beginning with Moses and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself expounds to the disciples, and he says that these things all prefigured him. They were all a tupas of him. Much of the Old Testament prefigures Christ. The seed of the woman was a tupas of Christ. The promises that were made to Abraham was a tupas of Christ. Abraham offering up his son Isaac was a tupas of Christ. Joseph being tossed into the pit by his brothers was a tupas of Christ. The Passover lamb was a tupas of Christ. The commander of the army of the Lord in Joshua was a tupas of Christ. King David was a tupas of Christ. Everything that was in the tabernacle, from the laver to the altar to the veil in the temple, they were all tupas of Jesus Christ. So in Romans, he's saying, listen, Adam was a tupas of Jesus Christ. As I mentioned earlier, a tupas came to mean a person, an object, or an event that prefigured something that's greater than himself. Adam is not greater than the thing that he prefigured. Moses wasn't greater. Abraham wasn't greater. None of the things in the tabernacle were greater than Christ himself. They were all tupas. You must realize when you study the Old Testament, when you see all that's taking place, you must ask yourself, Jesus Christ said that Moses and all the prophets spoke of all the things concerning himself. The scriptures spoke of the things concerning himself. Look at verse 32 of that Luke 24. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? I would ask you the question, did your heart just not burn when I was bringing out the fact that the Old Testament was the Tupas of Jesus Christ? The Old Testament prefigured Christ. When I mentioned Adam and Abraham, and I mentioned Isaac, and I mentioned Joseph and Moses and Joshua and David and the showbread and the tabernacle and the Passover lamb. And the scarlet thread, all of those things were tupas of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is bringing forth in our text in Romans 5. Bringing forth the fact, not that Adam was great, but he was in the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Adam prefigured Christ. What about Adam? What about Adam? You mentioned Adam, what about him? Our study of types or tupas has not yet answered the question of how can Adam be said to represent Christ? All right, Paul, we get the fact that Adam was a tupas of Christ. But how can it be said that he represented Christ? Tupas represents their fulfillments in certain great particulars, though not in all respects. What this means then is that we are not looking for a perfect correspondence between Adam and Christ. Don't look for a perfect correspondence. You must look to the fact, how are they similar? Not that they are perfectly similar, but in what way are they similar? Last time we saw their contrast. This time we're looking at Adam's similarity, because it says in the text, who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is the type of who? Him. Who is the type of him who was to come? So here's Adam. In what way is he a type of Jesus Christ? What is the parallel? What is the similarity? We'll look at four of them. Four similarities between Adam and Christ. The first similarity, both Adam and Christ were appointed by God to be representatives for other men. We have seen Adam's failure as the head of mankind to do good God's will. He was commanded to not eat of the tree, and he didn't. God's will was that you would not eat of the tree. But look at Hebrews 10. Verses 5 through 7. Adam was told, given a commandment by God, thou shalt not. And Adam did. So how is that a tupas of Jesus Christ? Well, Hebrews 10, verses 5 through 7 tells us, therefore, when he came into the world, Jesus Christ, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, notice, but a body that you have prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. This is speaking of the Father. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Adam. Body created for Adam to represent the human race, given a command by Almighty God, Adam fails to do God's will. Adam fails at the thing he was appointed by God to do. God said, thou shalt not. And Adam said, I will. I will do my will. But of Jesus Christ, it said, notice, a body you have prepared for me. The body was appointed by God the Father for Jesus Christ, and notice what it was appointed for. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Adam said, I will do my will, and therefore death, hell, and condemnation will come to the human race. And Christ said, I will come forth in this body that the Father has appointed for me. And rather than be like Adam and have my own will be done, I will say even to the point of death, Father, nevertheless, your will be done. That's how Adam was the tupas of Jesus Christ. He prefigured something much greater than himself. Adam, that's the similarity that he has with Christ. Body prepared, fails to do God's will. Christ, the body is prepared and does the will. That is the tupas. That is the similarity. Also, we see the similarity that both Adam and Christ became heads of particular bodies of people, particular race of people or descendants. Notice Adam, 5:12. Romans 5:12. Let's look at the tupas. Let's look at the similarity. Let's look at the pattern that we have. Romans 5, verse 12. Notice, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Notice, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. One man, sin enters the world. He's representing the people, because what's it say? Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and death spread to all men, right? Because all sinned. Adam, representing man. Sin enters the world. Death spreads through sin. Adam is a head of a particular body of people, a race of people, humanity. Adam prefigures, where's Christ? Where is he the head of a particular body of people? Romans 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, notice, so also by one man's obedience many more will be made righteous. You see, Adam is the tupas. He prefigures something far greater than himself. For as by one man's disobedience, notice, many were made sinners. You see, here he is. He's representing a particular body of people. He sins and many were made sinners. Christ obeys and many will be made righteous. Adam and Christ, heads of particular bodies of people. Notice, I bring it out even more. 1 Corinthians 15, the tupas. Adam was the tupas of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. For as in Adam all die. Notice, in Adam all die. That's why babies die. That's why infants die. For in Adam all die. Notice, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. See, representing a particular race of people. Notice verse 45 in that same chapter. Very important. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. Notice, the last Adam, you talk about a tupas, it's right there saying the word. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The last Adam. Doesn't even say Jesus Christ. He's called the last Adam. Why? Because he's representing a particular group of individuals. That's why it says the last Adam. So we have Adam prefiguring Christ as one appointed by God to be a representative for other men. We have Adam and Christ becoming heads of particular bodies of people. And as I just mentioned, notice the words first and last. Paul was thinking of Adam and Christ in their representative capacity. That's why it says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Paul's thinking that way. He's thinking in their representative capacity. Realize this. The entire race of people on this planet is divided into two destinies. There's two destinies for mankind. You're either in Adam or in Christ. In Adam, all sin died, and go to hell. In Christ, all will that will believe will be saved, will go to heaven, will have their sins forgiven, and will have eternal life. Two destinies. That's why I said before us tonight is arguably the two most pivotal points in all the history of the world. It wasn't the Rubicon. It wasn't George Washington crossing Valley Forge. It wasn't the first president. It wasn't the destruction of Rome. It wasn't the raising of Egypt, the putting down of Babylon. The two most pivotal points in the history of mankind is, first of all, Adam sinned, representing humanity. Adam sins, death spreads to all of the humanity. He's the Tupac of the one who is to come to represent the race for salvation. The second Adam, the living being. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The two most pivotal points in history. Why do you think history is divided B.C. and A.D.? Because the first pivotal point of history, Adam sinned. The second pivotal point of history, Christ did not sin. Christ obeyed the Father. He said, I will do your will. The body you have prepared for me. Adam was the Tupac of something far greater than him. The third similarity that we have. Both Adam and Christ had covenants made with them by God. Notice Genesis 2, chapter 16. The covenant that have been given to Adam. Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And that's exactly what happened. One command given to one man in a perfect environment, who had not sinned previously, one command given, the covenant of works. If you do this, you shall live. If you don't do it, you shall die. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Covenant made with Adam by Almighty God. Where is that a Tupac? Where is that a Tupac of something greater? We see something greater. Look at Exodus 19. Something much greater. Exodus 19, verses 5 through 8. Now therefore, notice. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. Now you have covenant again, right? Yeah. See? Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, notice, obey my voice, keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nature, a nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So he tells Moses, you go tell the people of Israel, if you keep my commandments, if you keep this covenant, if you obey my word, you shall be a special treasure to me. And obviously we know what has happened there. And I'll show you what the biggest mistake was in the Jews' history. And notice that verse in verse 6, that's right out of Peter. Well, I should say Peter takes that right out of Exodus. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, right? Notice verse 7. So Moses came and called for the elders of all the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord had commanded them. Now realize this, I just showed you Adam, perfect environment, never had sinned, one command. Here comes Moses down from Mount Sinai, bringing all the commands of God, including number 10, thou shalt not covet anything of thy neighbors, which every one of us do in some way, shape, or form. Notice, Then all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. See, what they should have said was, "Our father Adam could not keep one of them. What in the world makes you think that we can keep it? We can't keep it, Lord. Please, we need grace. We don't need a covenant of works. We can't keep it. We need something far greater." They couldn't earn their salvation. So Christ had to come. He had to fulfill the covenants that Adam failed to keep. He was the one that was prefigured, the one that would come, and he would obey God's voice, and he would keep God's covenant that God made. He would fulfill the bargain in the covenant. "If you obey my words, if you keep my covenant, you shall be a special treasure to me above all people." And that's what we have become. Adam was a tupas of the far greater covenant keeper. The one broke the covenant with one law. The other one kept the covenant of all laws. The fourth similarity between Adam and Christ. They passed on the effects of their disobedience or their obedience. The tupas. Adam, the tupas of Christ, passed on the effects of his disobedience. Adam's disobedience brings sin, condemnation, death, and hell. What is the similarity, though? What is the parallel? What is the tupas? The Adam's disobedience, Christ's obedience. Adam brings sin, Christ brings righteousness. Adam brings condemnation, Christ brings justification. Adam brings death, Christ brings eternal life. Adam brings hell, and Christ brings heaven. Adam was a tupas of something far greater than himself. Adam. We were once right with God in Adam, but we rebelled in Adam. And if you don't think that you have rebelled in Adam, you need to look no further than Romans 1. Because Paul describes all of humanity in Romans 1. Those of Adam's race in Romans 1 in verses 28 through 32. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." That's what Adam brought mankind. That's what mankind has received from Adam. That's the legacy of Adam's race. That's the legacy today in all of humanity. That's the legacy of men and women that are even in Christ, that have been regenerated, that have the Holy Spirit in them. They still struggle with some of those sins that are mentioned in there. Some struggle with more, some struggle with less. But in Adam, not only do we receive sin and condemnation and death, we also receive this body of death. Whereas all of our being has been totally corrupted. Our reason has been corrupted. Our will has been corrupted. Everything about us has become corrupted in some degree. The legacy of Adam. But he was a tupas of something greater. And that something greater is also mentioned in Romans and is mentioned in Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. See? That's the answer to the two parts, to Adam. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Notice, it's the power of God unto salvation. Adam was left to himself. It wasn't the power of God. It was the power of man. You see, the will of man that was uncorrupted, living in a perfect environment. And yet, when salvation is of man, he always fails. One time, one commandment by God in the perfect environment, and he sins. And that's why Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, in the gospel of Christ, is the power of God to salvation. Not the power of you making promises and making covenants to God that I will do this and I will jump this high and that far and I'm going to do this on this date. We're not covenant keepers, we're covenant breakers, just like our daddy Adam was. Christ fulfills the covenant of God. Christ forgives the covenant of works, and therefore God can save you by the covenant of grace. Because Christ has earned grace from the Father. He fulfilled the commandment that in the Torah it says, if you can do all of these commands, if you keep all these commands perfectly, you will be granted eternal life. That's why Christ had to perfectly obey the law of God, every law given, even to the point that's why he said to John the Baptist, baptize me, fulfilling all the law. I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. That's why he was stressing the point so much. I have to keep all the law. I have to perfectly obey it. And in perfectly obeying it, I fulfilled the covenant of works that was given to Adam. That was a covenant of works. The covenant of works with one work in the covenant. Adam failed miserably. And all death came to humanity. But that covenant was the two parts of a far greater covenant. The covenant of grace. The covenant that the law says, I will write my law in your heart. I'll give you a new heart. I'll come in and dwell inside you. I'll come and I'll change you. I'll come and put my power in you. Because you know what? I really know how strong man is. And man is weak. And he's horribly weak. And the history of mankind proves the weakness of man. And don't think because men and women have won wars and fought wars and destroyed nations that they were powerful. As a matter of fact, it was just the opposite. They were weak. And that's why they thought they had to destroy other nations and overrun other people and kill and slaughter other people because they were weak. And they were fearful of other people. That's why they went and destroyed other people. Adam, a two parts of one far greater. Back to Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. For it is the power of God, the salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Notice, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. See, for in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. See, if Adam would have obeyed that command, that would have been the righteousness of man. It would have had nothing to do with the righteousness of God. People ask, why did God permit sin to come into the world? How about to show man that he's not God? One command given to Adam proved man is not God. He thought he would be God. Serpent said, you'll be like God. But that's one of them gods with that little g that I mentioned earlier. that the tupas also means idols. Idols. People change the image of God into four-footed creatures. Notice what it said, who exchange the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. See, they've made two passes out of all the things that God has created for us to enjoy. They've taken the good things of God and made them into God things. That's what a tupas is. You take one thing and you make it into a God thing. A good thing, you make it into a God thing. You change the image of God. Adam, a tupas of Christ. He prefigured one that was far greater than himself. Adam brought death to the world, and Christ brings life. And the question before us tonight, as I said, there's two pivotal points in the history of mankind. And the question before each and every one of us tonight is this. Are you in Adam or are you in Christ? You are one or the other. It's not, I'm halfway in Adam, I'm kind of seeking the Lord. No, you're not seeking Him. You're looking for a tupas. You're looking for an image of God. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. There's no middle ground. There's no other options. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. What would it be tonight? God gave Adam one command. You shall not eat of the tree. He would give you one command tonight. Look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall come to the Lord will not be ashamed. Look upon the tree. Look at the one that's been lifted up. And your sins shall be forgiven you. God would command you tonight to come. See, it's not an invitation to receive. It's a command. Just as God commanded Adam. Do not eat of the tree. The scripture says for you tonight to come. And I would remind you of this. If you do come tonight, if you do come to Christ, it's not because you obeyed that command to come. It's because the Holy Spirit has done a previous work in you. He has given you a new heart, and He has granted you the faith in order to come to Him. Because then it will be a God thing, and it won't be a man thing. That somehow, I did that, I came. And you would glory in the fact that you would come. I would remind you tonight to not even glory in that, because even faith is a gift of God. Adam was a tupas of something, someone far greater than himself. And Adam, all died. And in Christ, all men may be saved. He says tonight, come. Come. Amen.